Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 116, Patrick here, CJ Evolution. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for tuning in. You know, we talk a lot about mentorship and how important leadership and direction is in your life and having that focus and, most importantly, mindset. If we don't have the correct mindset, if we're not shifting our mindset for the better, we're bound for more problems and issues in our life. And that's why it's so important to get and ask great guests like the next one to come on and share bits and pieces of wisdom, because they've been through it, folks. Businessman and life coach Aaron Walker is truly an inspiration. He has inspired thousands and hundreds of thousands through his leadership and mentorship and consistent pursuit of excellence. And he started from humble beginnings. He enjoys helping others and believes experience is a great teacher. He has 36 years of entrepreneurship and a marriage that has given Aaron a wealth of experience. Aaron continues to reach new heights and broaden his perspective of the terrain by examining his experiences and growing for them. I really had an amazing time talking to Aaron. He is such an inspiration. Like I said, he is just a wealth of wisdom and experience. So I hope you enjoy the following interview with Aaron Walker. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We have businessman and life coach Aaron Walker on. Sir, thank you, Aaron, for taking the time. I know you're very busy. Thank you for being here today.
Hey, Patrick. Thanks for having me on, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Aaron, for those of you, the listeners who don't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit? I covered it in the intro a little bit, but can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. Just real quick, I'm an entrepreneur. I've owned 12 businesses over the past 38 years, starting my first one at 18. I retired, sold out to a Fortune 500 company at 27, took a 18-month break, went back, bought the company I started with when I was a kid, 13 years old, and we grew that four times the size it was over the next 10 years. And then something happened in my life, Patrick, that really was life transformational for me, but it wasn't a welcome thing. I ran over and killed a pedestrian August 1st, 2001, which really radically, needless to say, changed my life. Mm-hmm. I took the next 5 years off. I didn't do anything. We sold our business. We traveled. We built another house. Kind of had to get my legs back under me after that horrible experience. And then we went in the construction business. We built high-end residence and small commercial for about 7 or 8 years. Then I sold it at 50 years old. And a couple of my mastermind members that I've been in mastermind groups with now for decades, Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller and Ken Abraham, some of those names may or may not mean anything to some of your listeners. Yeah. But they said, what are you going to do now? And I said, I'm done. I'm probably going to go to the Caribbean and hang out. And they said, you're not going to do that. You've tried to retire three times, and every time you last 90 days and you come back. And Dan Miller said, why don't you start coaching other men, training them, helping them understand how you've been successful in your marriage and in your business? And I refused. I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm tired. I've been working since I was 13 years old. Now I'm 50. I'm going to kind of kick back. And Dan Miller said, that's the most selfish thing I've ever heard you say. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you're saying I got enough for myself. Good luck to the rest of you. He said, you can't
do
that.
That's a good point, yeah.
So he invited me to do Innovate out at his place. It's called The Sanctuary. So I went out and absolutely loved it. And he texted me on the way home. He lives here in Nashville. Dave Ramsey and Dan and I live real close to each other. And Dave Ramsey said, why don't you come do Entree Leadership Mastery Series? He said, I'll gift it to you. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. So I went and did that and loved it. Patrick, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I went home and talked to Robin about it. And I said, why don't we consider this coaching thing? So I started doing some podcast interviews, and my business filled up pretty quick. And after one-on-one coaching was filled up, I started mastermind groups that I'd been a part of for decades and emulating that process. And we filled up seven groups just immediately. And so now I facilitate seven mastermind groups on a weekly basis. I coach men one-on-one all over the world. We have national and international clients. I help them grow their business. And then we started a community where we have people literally from multiple countries that are involved in our kind of movement. And what that movement is not only living a life of success, but significance. Mm-hmm. That significance piece, Patrick, is what I was missing prior to the automobile accident. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. I'm helping ordinary men become extraordinary.
Well, and the world, Aaron, is glad that you heeded the advice of your friends, and you are giving back, because you just your message. We talked a little bit about it before we went on the air. I mean, you just like have this radiance about you, and this such positive energy that follows you. What I gotta ask you though, at 18, most kids. I know what I was doing at 18. I wasn't really doing much. I was playing video games and stuff. What was the drive behind that at such a young age? Was it just upbringing or what?
That's a good question. First of all, I came from a very poor background. My dad was a great man, but he was a horrible business person. He was a general contractor, and he didn't care anything about making money. And so, therefore, we never had any. It was, you know, we were blessed as far as food and shelter, but that was the extent of it. And I watched my dad work really hard when I was a kid, literally sweeping the snow off of roofs in the winter so he could re-roof the house during the winter so we'd have food. My mom would put it in a pantry, and she would nail a board over it during the summer so in the winter we'd have food. And I don't want to paint a picture that you're like poor Aaron, but the truth of the matter is we didn't have anything. And so it really kind of lit a fire in me. It was kind of like I wasn't running to something. I was running from something. Sure. I just didn't want to work that hard, and I wanted a little bit better life for me and my family. Mm-hmm. And so I started working at a local store at 13, and at 15 fell in love with the business. And then I went to summer school and night school for 18 months. I had enough credits at the beginning of my junior year to graduate from high school. So I didn't really have to go my junior or senior year. And so I worked every day, and I met a couple of guys that had a lot of money. They owned the 21st largest insurance agency in the country at the time. Mm-hmm. And I approached them one day and I said, why don't we take my experience and your money and open a business? And they started laughing. They said, how old are you? I said, I'm 18. They said, well, we never had anybody 18 approach us. And I said, well, you know, it's first time for everything. But anyway, back to my question. Why don't we take your money and my experience and open our own retail store? And he said, what would it cost to do that? And I didn't have a clue. So I said, I'll get back with you in 2 weeks. I went back to him in 2 weeks. I said, this was in the 70s, you know, 1970s. Mm-hmm. And I said, it'll take $150,000 to open the store. And he said, that's a lot of money. And I said, yeah, it is a lot of money. And Patrick, it's a lot of money today. But in the 70s at 18, it was a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, imagine.
And make a long story short, they agreed to do it. And so we went to the bank. I signed a note. He said, we want your name on the note also. We signed the note, 10-year loan, $150,000. He handed me a checkbook. He said, go open it. I went out to the car, Patrick. I got in the car, and I wanted to throw up. I was so nervous. I was like, oh, God, what do I do now? So I did best I knew. I went and leased a retail operation, started it up, and God just blessed it. It was amazing what God did to our business. And Robin and I got married a year later. I waited on her to get out of high school. 2 weeks out of high school, we get married. We start pouring all the resources back into the business. Sure. Every single dollar we got, we put it back into the business. I paid that 10-year loan off in 36 months.
Wow.
We're 21 years old. We have a paid-for business. And I said, Robin, we cannot screw this up. We both, you know, are so broke. There's no way we'll ever get this chance again. And we've got to put all the money back into the company. So I did it again and again and again. I kept opening stores and we kept pouring the money back in it. I lived on $18,000 for 10 years. That was our salary, $18,000 a year. We had two little girls. We lived in a very modest house. And then one day, Cash America, a company in Fort Worth, Texas, came knocking on our door and they said, we want to buy your company. I won't bore you with all the details of that, but finally I named a price and they agreed and they bought me out. So I was 27. But the thing is it was the grit, the determination, the perseverance. My mom had a saying when I was a kid, it's can't, couldn't do it, but could, did it all. Mm-hmm. And it was really instilled in me that if you want something bad enough, you've got to believe that you can do it and you've got to have the perseverance to stick to it.
And it, you know, it's the power of that visualizing, Aaron, you know, and knowing and seeing yourself accomplishing that. And it's just amazing that at a very young age, you had that drive, because you know, and you know, and I know that, you know, a lot of 18 years, not that there's a lot that can do it or have that drive, but I would say most don't. And for you to see that and go for it, and obviously the element of risk and knowing that you wanted a different life, it just is amazing to me.
Well, Patrick, here's the thing that I want your audience to hear. I don't want this to be about my success.
Sure.
I want it to be about the people that are listening to mm-hmm. this interview. The truth of the matter is you have a choice. You can have the growth mindset and believe you can do it also and develop your own can't, couldn't do it, and could, did it all mindset. Or you can choose to have a fixed mindset and think, this is the hand I'm dealt. There's no other way out. It is what it is. That is not true. Mm-hmm. See, we can't change our personalities, but we can change our behavior. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, fear is at the essence of the problem. You're afraid you will fail. And I just here to tell you that the failure is in not trying, not in not succeeding. And you fail by sitting on the couch not attempting it. I couldn't lay in bed at night, Patrick, thinking, would it have worked? I've got to try it, see, but we have this fear of failure, and I say fear missing an opportunity mm-hmm. more than you fear failure. And that's the mindset that I developed. It's like, hey, you know what? I didn't have anything then, and if I try it and it don't work, I'm no worse off.
Sure.
But what I want the listeners to think of today is you can do it. If you've got enough persistence, perseverance, grit, determination, the thing is we've got to have a purpose. Passion won't keep you there. Passion will get you started, but if you don't have a purpose for what you're doing, no amount of money, no amount of passion is going to keep you there. So what you've got to decide is what is my purpose? Once you determine that, you'll stay with it long term.
And I read something a while ago where they did a poll on some older people, and you know they're on their deathbed and they're in their latter years, and they always come up with the same thing, Aaron. They always come up with, I wish I would have done that. They regret. You know, they wish they would have taken more chances and, you know, had more personal development.
I want to lay there when my kids are at the funeral home and look at my dad. I don't want them to say my dad lived in regret. I
sure.
don't want to lay on my deathbed and go, oh, I wished I'd have done that. I don't want to be one of those old people that say, oh, God. I don't want to have any regrets. Right? But, I've got regrets on things that I've done and things. I'm
sure.
not perfect. Right? We ought to. But listen, go for it. If you're sitting on the fence and you're trying to decide, should I? Yes, you should. I'm telling you right now, you should try, because where there's nothing ventured, there's nothing gained.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's not great amount of sacrifice, there's very little prosperity. So I want you to know you can go for it. You can do it. Get the people around you, edify you, encourage you, lift you up, get non-biased people around you, mastermind groups. Listen, I love mastermind groups mm-hmm. because they're non-biased people that can come at you with a different perspective and help take you to where you want to go. So develop your own mindset of you can do it.
But why do so many people, Aaron, I mean, we talked about all that, and it's so obvious sometimes, but why do so many people just settle for the status quo? And you've hit on a lot of it, but
yeah.
I mean, why do people
they're
just
afraid.
Say, well,
I'm just telling you, they're afraid. They're afraid mm-hmm. the neighbors are talking about them, their family's talking about them, and I want to give everybody a little heads up. No, they're not. You're not sitting around your dinner table talking about Patrick or Aaron and his successes or failures,
mm-hmm.
right? But everybody is talking about you. It's not true. I'm just mm-hmm. telling you, you're not that popular, and I'm not either.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are popular enough, but we let that fear hold us back. Listen. Average. You don't want to be average. That's just as close to the bottom as is the top. Man, we want to live a life of fulfillment, of gratification, of great purpose. This is not a practice session. We don't get a do-over. I mean, we've got to live our life now. And you can do that with great excitement, with great fulfillment. And I want you to go for it. But don't bet the farm. I'm not telling you to roll your dice and put all on red. That's not what I'm saying. But maybe a portion of it. Maybe 25% of what you've got. Be very risky with it. It's okay. You can't be just average. I don't want to be average. I want to excel at whatever I'm doing. And the only way you're going to do that is if you put yourself out there.
We talk a lot. I've talked a lot on the show, my show, Aaron, about it is so important to surround yourself with the right people. You surround yourself, I'm assuming, with the positive people, and your mentors and the masterminds that can get you to that next level. I'm not talking about like financial success. That's important, but to continue to grow spiritually and those next, because there's always going to be challenges no matter how successful you are, but you're surrounding yourself with those just the people that need to be in your life. And we talked a little bit before about in law enforcement and criminal justice, it is so important for people in that profession to, we have enough negative in the job, but you need to surround yourself with the positive. You have to have the balance in your life.
Well, it's not about balance necessarily. It's prioritizing your priorities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? I don't really believe in balance. It's because that is saying that you're kind of immovable and there's something equal on both sides.
I want to
prioritize my priorities. I want to put the big rocks in first. I choose my inner circle very carefully. I don't have naysayers. I have people that tell me the truth. Mm-hmm. Right? If they're like, oh, you can't do this, I'm like, you better move. You're fixing to get run over because I'm about to go there. You know, I need people to edify me, to encourage me, to hold me accountable. But I need people to tell me the truth. I need Patrick to say, hey, that's a good idea, but you need to tweak this. Or, man, I wouldn't do that, and here's why. It's going to cause trouble with your family. Or you need to do more of this. You need to push through that upper limit challenge. You need to read, you know, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. You need to read that book that says, hey, here's a ceiling. How do I push through it? And I need people around me locking arms with me, figuring out how to push through that upper limit challenge rather than holding me down, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be held down. Mm-hmm. So I pick the people I'm with very strategically, very carefully for a number of reasons. One is I need the encouragement. The second thing is I want my family to be encouraged, my children and my grandchildren. And I don't want people around me holding them down saying, you can't do it. You're never amount to anything. You know, the government's this. I'm like, you know what? The government doesn't control my future, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a Christ follower. God's in control of my future, first of all. Second of all, you've got to work like it depends on you and trust like it depends on God. You've got to get out there and bring it. I leave nothing on the field. Every drop of water is squeezed out of the tile every day. I'm exhausted when I go to bed every night, but I'm so excited I get to get up and do it again the next day. See, the entitlement mindset, I don't have, and I encourage you not to have that. Nobody owes you anything. Mm-hmm. You need to go out there and go for it. I met this guy one time when I was 15 years old, and he was very well dressed, had a real nice car, and I said, how'd you get so much money? He started laughing. He said, young man, God put it equal for everybody out there. You got to reach out and get yourself some.
That's good
well,
advice.
That has embedded in my mind like nothing else. I'm like, you know what? Why not me? Why not me? Why is that guy over there? I used to tell my kids when they were little, they're 34 and 31 now. Matter of fact, we're recording this on my oldest daughter's birthday. Today she's 34, and they both work with me in my business. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. On each side of my office, I have my daughters here, and it is just incredible. That's a side note. I don't know how I got off on that. But here's the thing they used to tell my daughters. Listen, you need to go for it. You just need to get out there and go for it. And if you do, you're going to have an incredible adventure to live. Don't be average. Don't be status quo. Pour all you've got into it. Develop this mindset of you can do it. Forget missing, all these activities and all these things. Fear missing the opportunity more than you fear failure. And success is coming your way, and I mean quickly.
That is amazing. Aaron, you talk about helping men grow in success and significance. What do you think some of the challenges facing men today are? And there's challenges for women, too, but...
My avatar is men, nothing against women. It's
just
I know men, and that's what I've chosen to be my avatar. And a lot of women complain, and they'll say, oh, you're against women. No, I'm not. I'm making your man a better man. I'm making your guy a better husband and a better dad. You better be thankful for you from the top because we're taking men to next levels. But the biggest problem is we don't even know what success or significance even is. We've not identified it. Like, how do you know when you've won? Right. What is the measuring stick? Mm-hmm. What is it in your life that you want to have success in? What does that even look like? And for me, it was like I had to decide what that even was. Most people are out there working every day. They're going to work every day to make more money, to buy bigger, better, shinier, faster, just give me more. And then when you sit down one day, you go, that didn't scratch the itch like I thought it was going to. I mean, I got this new car, and all of a sudden, I'm not happy anymore. I got this new house, and now I've got
temporary,
this humongous mortgage you know, that's got me in bondage now. Is that success? I mean, seriously, you want to have that thousands and thousands of dollars mortgage and you think that's success? It's not. I'm just telling you right now, I've been there, done that. I've had 12 businesses. I've owned vacation homes on the beach, in the mountains. I've had all the stuff. I know all about stuff. And I'm just telling you, what gives you meaning is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is temporal. The moth is going to eat it. The rust is going to decay it. And I'm telling you, it won't scratch the itch like you think it is. So for me, success was choosing my own schedule. I love getting up, Patrick, going, you know what? I think I'm going to do this today. Or I'm not going to do that. I love financial freedom. And let me just be honest with you. There is nothing wrong with making money. I love to make money. There is nothing wrong with making money. Money's a tool, though. I don't want money to be my God. I don't want it to be the only reason that I'm working. It's a tool to live my life. See, I don't get up every day. I don't live to work. I work to live. And you've got to get that straight. I love to have an engaging family and meaningful relationships. Patrick, I want to build a longer, stronger relationship with you and other people. That is the truth and the key to success, is having these relationships, having that clear conscience with every transaction you do, taking care of yourself, learning to be content without complacency. See, that's the other part that we're missing out on, is we don't know how to be content. I'll be happy when. Right. If I can just get that mortgage paid off, if I can just get this kid out of school, if I can just, you fill in the blank. See, you're never going to reach a place of contentment with that kind of mindset. But don't be complacent. I love to grow, man. I want ISI and the mastermind. I want it to go. I don't want to be complacent, but I want to learn to enjoy today. I want to learn to enjoy this moment. I love to dream. Mm-hmm. I've already mentioned that, you know, I'm a Christ follower, so I love really exploring my faith and what God means in my life. I like to have meaning and purpose. And at the end of the day, Patrick, I want to leave a legacy of wisdom. I want my kids to look at me one day and go, you know, my dad was a wise man.
Mm-hmm.
So for you listeners, what is success to you? Like, what is that? What does it even mean? But the part that really played havoc in my life was the day that I had that automobile accident and I killed that pedestrian August 1st, 2001, 16 years ago. Here's what I discovered. There was no significance. Everything was about me. I had all the stuff, big toys, money. I had all that stuff. But if I had died, here's what my legacy would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Poor kid from Nashville, Tennessee, make some money. Nobody cares. And I started thinking about that and I felt so guilty about that. I thought, is this it? Is this really what life about? Me make a little bit of money and have a place in Destin and place in the mountains and drive a nice car. Is that it? I mean, like, seriously? And then I started thinking, you know what I need to do? I need to pour my life into other people. I need to help meet the needs of other people. I need to learn to fully engage people, listen to them intently, really get in their lives and stop waiting my turn to talk. It's like, just shut up for a minute and listen. They'll tell you what they want to do and you can help them. You can take them to the next level. And I had to learn to help other people that couldn't repay me. And you go, oh, wow, that stung. What's the truth? I was doing things for people early on that could do things for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking, how can I do things anonymously so they don't even know I did it, so I know I'm doing the right things for other people? People say, I'm busy. If I had your money, you know, I would go out and do those things either. No, you wouldn't. And I'll tell you why you wouldn't. They say, if I had plenty of money, I'd be giving it away. I just challenge that thinking, because money magnifies what's in the heart. It doesn't change it.
Sure.
If you're not doing it today, you wouldn't do it if you had $10 million. And you've got to decide what's significant. Got to give to others more than the minimal requirements. And at the end of the day, you've got to have the foresight to really invest long-term in other people's lives so that you could potentially impact generations to come. And that's what living a life of success and significance about. And that is the path I'm on. That's the path that I'm trying to train other men to do.
And you hit, and that's amazing, Aaron, but you hit it, because the more you give, the more you give back. I'm not talking about financially, but I'm talking about just, you know, this just giving and teaching and mentoring people. That comes back to you twofold.
See, it is unbelievable, Patrick. Can I tell a quick story?
Of course.
So my dad dies in 2006. I've already told you we were broker and a convict. We didn't have anything when I was a kid. And my dad never made over $15,000 a year in his life, ever. And so my dad died, and I'm at the funeral home, and the doors open at 2:30, and I look up, and cars start pouring in. The line formed 30 minutes before visitation started, all the way outside to the parking lot and around the end of the building. Wow. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It took an hour and a half to get through the line. 6.5 hours I stood there greeting people, paying their condolences. Every person from 5 years old to 75 years old said, here's what they said. Your dad was there for me and did this. Your dad encouraged me. Your dad lifted me up. Your dad played with the kids. Your dad, you, whatever. Not one person, Patrick, not one person in 6.5 hours said, your dad had a nice truck. Your dad had a beautiful home. Your dad had great boat. Not one person. But why is it that we spend 95% of our time making more money to buy more stuff that nobody cares about, and every person there was talking about the relationship? Yet we spent minimal time building long-term relationships. It's taught me everything, and it has been the key to my success in these businesses, at developing relationships. It's the most profound asset. It's the most I don't know the word I'm looking for. I can't even begin to describe. That's why I can't find the word at what relationships mean. And it's by looking outward, not inward. And when we change the paradigm shift in our life, what happens is more people want to be around you.
Sure.
More people want to talk to you. More people want to buy your service. More people want to help you. We spend no less than 20-25% of our day reaching outward, trying to promote and help other people. And when you do that, we can't even respond to all the inquiries that we get for what we do as a result of trying to help other people. See, what we think is we hold the cards close to our vest and we don't share, somebody will get our idea. No,
sure.
That's wrong. I had a guy recently called me and said, I want to join your mastermind group. And he said, but I'm going to be honest with you. I want to do exactly what you're doing. I want to train other people to do what you're doing. I said, come on, man, I'll teach you everything I know. He said, are you serious? I said, I'm dead serious. He's become one of our biggest advocates because I'm pouring into that guy. You can do that wherever you're at right now. You've got to change your mindset to looking outward, not inward.
Yeah, and so many people, Aaron, you know this, are just, they're so threatened, you know, when they give away. You're obviously, you just want to help people. You want to spread the word. But so many people out there just feel threatened if they give away, you know, something of themselves. I mean, well, geez, that person's going to take my job if I mentor them or if I teach them. And I mean, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's not. It is a mindset shift because we're all selfish by nature. When we were in the construction business, there were 10 elite builders in Middle Tennessee, and we formed an organization called the Master Custom Builder Council, where the people that were competing against each other, we got together the third Thursday in every month, and we started sharing resources and ideas and subcontractors and vendors, and we started sharing ideas and best practices. And the last year I was in the construction business, those 10 builders, we did $115 million in business as a result of coming together. Everybody that was in the organization grew, and we grew because we shared and helped each other. When I was busy, I'd say, hey, go see Bob Shaw. He can build you a house. And they would say, he's your competitor. No, he's not. There's plenty of business. We would start sharing subcontractors, and we would start buying different products in bulk, and we would get discounts, which made us more competitive. And the list goes on and on and on. I learned so much, and they're sharing with the guys that I was actually competing with.
Yeah.
And it is so foreign to people. But I'm telling you, listen to me. I've done it. 38 years, 12 businesses. I know what I'm talking about. Start sharing, telling everything you know, helping the other people, and you watch your life change.
Amazing. You talked, Aaron, a little bit about a long, successful marriage of 36 years, which is amazing. You might know this, you might not know. There's a high divorce rate among criminal justice professionals. Can you give them some tips?
Yeah.
Of how to have a successful relationship with your spouse or partner.
You know what? I almost messed this up big time decades ago. Robin and I last month celebrated 37 years. 2 weeks out of high school, we get married. And, you know, you had to learn, you know, as you go. And some of the things that I've learned is Robin is my wife's name. She is number one, period. Mm-hmm. number one. If I get a phone call from her during any meeting, I'm going to take it. Some people don't have the privilege of doing that. But if she calls me, I'm there for her. I set boundaries, and I have very, very, very strict boundaries. And I'll tell you a couple of them. And some of you are going to say, oh, Big A, that's what they call me. You're from the old school. I am, and I'm proud of it. And I want to continue to be from the old school because I want to be married 30 more years. I travel and speak a lot. And when I'm out of town or I'll do a book signing, I just wrote a new book called View from the Top. And if I'm doing a book signing, women will come up to me and say, hey, I heard you on this podcast or heard you on that. Can we do a picture together? And I look at them and I say, no, I'm sorry. I don't take pictures with women. And they look at me like I got two heads. They're like, what are you saying? And I said, let me tell you, you know, you're a good-looking 25-year-old girl. I'm 56 years old. I'm out here in San Diego doing a book signing. And my wife's sitting at home on the couch. First thing you're going to do with this picture is put it on Facebook.
Sure.
You're going to tag me in it. And my wife's going to see me with my arm around this 25-year-old girl in San Diego. Now, how helpful do you think that's going to be to my relationship with my wife? And you know what they always say? I've never had anybody say anything other than this. I wish my husband felt that way.
Oh, that's – wow.
And here's the thing. You've got to make them priority. You've got to make your wife priority. You got to set boundaries. I don't go to lunch with any women. I don't get in the car with any women. I don't ride on elevators with women alone. I don't do anything with that because I love my wife and I want to protect her.
Sure.
My wife is very valuable, and you got to handle her with kid gloves because she's precious. Your wife is precious to you too. But you know what we do? We talk to them and we say things to them that you wouldn't talk to me that way.
Sure.
Right? But you talk to them that way because you think you can get away with it. You need to be authentic. You need to be the same person with your wife as you are with me. You need to be the same person around other people and the way you treat her, the way you do it in private. You need to watch things on TV with her only. You don't need to be watching things on TV. You don't need to be looking at the internet, things you shouldn't. You need accountability partners. You need people asking you those questions. I'm not perfect. I struggle in areas, and I have to have accountability in my life. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you something. When you treat your wife like I'm talking about right now, your intimacy will go up like I can't describe. And I just don't mean physically, but I mean in every area of your life. It is amazing. She's your partner.
Sure.
You made a pledge before God to honor her, to cherish her, to take care of her, and most people don't do that. But when you get that mindset, you're like, hey, baby, you're number one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, man, it makes your life so radically better. And there's so many other things that we do. We go to a counselor together, even when things are good. I don't want to miss something.
Right? Sure.
We go when things are bad and there's an impasse. Like if we can't resolve something, we go. There's nothing wrong with counseling. It's good. I hire coaches for everything else. I'm sure going to hire one for the thing that I cherish the most. So when you get that in your mindset like that with your wife, I'm telling you, man, you watch what will happen in your marriage.
That's amazing. Tell us about your book, sir, your successful book, View from the Top.
Well, I didn't want to write this book at first because I've got a lot of guys around me that have been very successful. Ken Abraham is in my mastermind group. He's written 115 books. I mean, he's written every book for anybody that's anybody. He's written the book. And Dave Ramsey's selling millions of copies, and Dan Miller. And Ken Davis wrote a great book called Fully Alive. And one day he heard me say that, and he goes, Aaron, he said, when I wrote Fully Alive, he said, 17 people over the past couple of years have called me and said, I didn't commit suicide as a result of reading Fully Alive. He said, you're measuring the success against the wrong thing. And I said, you're daggum right, and I'm going to go write my book. And now even people are reaching out and saying, hey, it's radically changed my life. I'm doing some things now that I've never done before. Thank you for writing this book, because we talk about all the immeasurable rewards that are headed your way that you're not even familiar with yet. We talk about breaking free, being able to get rid of bitterness in your life and what that's doing to you. We talk about choosing wisely and focusing in the book. We talk about putting the big rocks in first, because balance is a myth, and prioritizing your priorities is the thing that you need to do. And once you accomplish these things and you really understand the process and the system by which you can live a successful life, you too can have a view from the top.
That's amazing. Where can they find the book, Aaron?
Yeah, it's everywhere. I mean, it's in every bookstore. It's in Amazon, Books of Millions, okay. Walmart, Target. It's on Amazon. You can reach out to me, or you can go to viewfromthetop.com/book, and we can get you the book there as well. But it's in 190 Hudsons and the airports all over the world. I mean, you can get it anywhere. It's easy to get right now.
And people can find you, Aaron, on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn.
Yep. If you'll just go to View From The Top, all of the social media platforms are there. And, man, I'd love to connect with you guys and hang out. But if I could be allowed to just say this, the thing that I'm most excited about right now is our mastermind groups. We literally have guys all over the world that are participating in these virtual meetups, and we meet weekly. We have people going in business together. Other, holding each other accountable, edifying, encouraging. It is absolutely like throwing gasoline on a fire. It is amazing what it's doing in guys' lives. And if you want to get involved in a group with me, viewfromthetop.com, there's an application there to join our ISI group. That stands for Iron Sharpening Iron. I promise you, it will take your life to heights you never thought possible.
Well, Aaron Walker, thank you so much, sir, for taking the time. I know you're very busy, but just a powerful message that you have, and thank you for sharing it with the listeners.
Hey, I brought a gift, and I couldn't leave here without giving it to you. Go to viewfromthetop.com/CJEvolution. Go there. There's two documents. I've taken the price off. I'm not selling you anything. I'm going to give you something. There's a personal assessment and a what do I want document. And I promise you, if you'll do these exercises, it'll blow your mind at what you'll get out of it. So go to viewfromthetop.com/CJEvolution and get those two documents.
Thank you. And those will be linked up in the show notes for everybody. So, Aaron, thank you so much, sir.
All right, buddy. Have a good one. See you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.